Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks is a personal development book focused on self-sabotage, fulfillment, and the psychological limits people place on achievement and well-being. Hendricks, a psychologist and longtime writer on conscious living and relationships, argues that many capable people do not fail because they lack talent or opportunity. Instead, they often retreat when life becomes better than they unconsciously believe they deserve. The book is best known for two linked ideas, the upper limit problem, which describes the internal ceiling on happiness and success, and the zone of genius, which describes the work and contribution that most fully express a person's distinctive abilities. Its purpose is practical rather than academic. Hendricks gives readers a vocabulary for recognizing recurring patterns such as worry, blame, conflict, and overcommitment, then encourages deliberate choices that move attention away from familiar competence and toward more meaningful contribution. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the upper limit problem is a pattern of unconscious self-sabotage. The central concept of the Big Leap is the upper limit problem. Hendricks' term for the internal ceiling people place on how much success, love, ease, or satisfaction they can tolerate. The idea is not that people consciously reject good outcomes. Rather, when circumstances improve beyond a familiar emotional range, they often generate discomfort through worry, conflict, guilt, criticism, or avoidant behavior. Hendricks compares this to a thermostat. Once the emotional temperature rises above the accustomed setting, the system tries to bring it back down. This framework is useful because it shifts attention from external obstacles alone to repeated reactions that follow positive developments. A promotion may be followed by anxiety. A stable relationship may be followed by an unnecessary argument. A creative breakthrough may be followed by procrastination. The book asks readers to study timing, not just symptoms, what happened immediately before the worry or conflict began. That emphasis makes the concept concrete. Hendricks does not present the upper limit problem as a rare pathology, but as a common learned pattern that can be noticed and interrupted through awareness, responsibility, and repeated commitment to allowing more good experience without reflexively reducing it. Secondly, the four hidden barriers that make expansion feel unsafe, Hendricks identifies four hidden barriers that often support the upper limit problem. The first is the feeling of being fundamentally flawed, a belief that success or love will eventually expose a defect. The second is the fear of disloyalty and abandonment, where doing well feels like separating from family, peers, or an earlier identity. The third is the belief that greater success brings a heavier burden, so expansion is unconsciously associated with more pressure rather than more freedom. The fourth is the fear of outshining others, in which visibility feels like a threat to belonging or fairness. These barriers matter because they explain why rational goal setting often fails. A person may say they want growth, while emotionally linking growth with rejection, guilt, obligation, or danger. The book's contribution is to name these patterns in plain language so readers can test them against their own behavior. Hendricks does not treat them as permanent traits. They are learned assumptions that become powerful because they remain implicit. Once identified, they can be questioned directly whether success truly betrays others, whether contribution must increase suffering, or whether being visible necessarily harms relationships. Thirdly, the four zones of capability and the hidden trap of excellence. The Big Leap organizes work and activity into four zones: incompetence, competence, excellence, and genius. The first two are relatively easy to understand. The zone of incompetence includes tasks a person does poorly and should usually avoid or delegate. The zone of competence includes tasks a person can perform adequately, but that many others could also do. The more important distinction is between excellence and genius. The zone of excellence contains activities a person performs very well and may be rewarded for, but which do not necessarily represent their deepest or most distinctive contribution. Hendricks argues that this zone can become a comfortable trap because it brings approval, income, and identity while still leaving a sense of underuse. The zone of genius, by contrast, involves work that draws on unique strengths, deep interest, and a sense of natural contribution. The practical implication is that being good at something is not sufficient evidence that one should keep centering life around it. The book encourages readers to examine where their competence has become a cage. This is especially relevant for professionals who are successful by conventional measures, yet feel constrained by responsibilities built around skills that no longer feel alive. Fourthly, commitment, the enlightened no, and building a life around genius. Hendricks presents the move into the zone of genius as a commitment rather than a single insight. Recognizing one's strongest contribution does not automatically change calendars, obligations, relationships, or habits. For that reason, the book emphasizes repeated decisions that protect time and attention for genius activities. One of its most practical ideas is the enlightened no declining tasks, roles, or requests. that do not serve the reader's highest contribution, even when those tasks are respectable or flattering. This is not a call for irresponsibility. It is a way of distinguishing genuine obligation from the fear of disappointing others or maintaining an old identity. Hendricks also frames the transition as gradual. People often need to reduce time spent in incompetence and competence first, then question why excellence still occupies so much of life. The reasoning is that genius requires structural support, not only motivation. If a person's schedule is filled with work that merely confirms competence, the most meaningful work remains theoretical. The book's usefulness lies in connecting aspiration to allocation. The way one spends time becomes the evidence of what one has truly committed to. Lastly, Einstein Time and Personal Responsibility for Pressure and Scarcity. A later and distinctive part of The Big Leap is Hendricks' discussion of time. Often summarized through the idea of Einstein Time, the concept challenges the common belief that time is mainly an external pressure that happens to people. Hendricks argues that people intensify stress when they speak and act as if time is a scarce force outside their influence. His alternative is not simplistic time management, but a shift in responsibility, noticing how complaints about being rushed, overwhelmed, or late can become ways to avoid ownership. This idea connects to the broader book because time pressure often functions as an upper limit behavior. When life begins to expand, a person may create urgency, overcommitment, or lateness to restore familiar tension. The book's approach asks readers to examine their language and choices around time, including whether they are using busyness to avoid genius work or intimacy. Its value is in treating time scarcity as partly psychological and relational, not merely logistical. While external constraints are real, Hendricks emphasizes that greater responsibility over commitments, boundaries, and attention can reduce the drama that keeps people from sustained creative contribution. In conclusion, The Big Leap is best suited for readers who are outwardly capable but repeatedly encounter the same inner ceiling professionals who remain in rewarding but constraining roles. Creatives who interrupt their own momentum and people who notice that good developments are often followed by anxiety, conflict, or withdrawal. Its practical benefit is vocabulary. Concepts such as the upper limit problem, zone of excellence, zone of genius, hidden barriers, enlightened no, and Einstein time give readers specific ways to diagnose patterns that might otherwise feel vague or purely circumstantial. And you intellectually, the book is less a clinical theory than a coherent self-observation model. Its strength lies in linking success, emotional tolerance, identity, and everyday behavior into one usable framework. Compared with many personal development books, it stands out because it does not focus mainly on ambition, productivity, or positive thinking. Instead, it asks why people resist the very outcomes they claim to want, and why competence can become more limiting than failure. Some readers may find the presentation simple or repetitive, and applying the ideas requires sustained reflection rather than a quick technique. Even so, its enduring appeal comes from naming a recognizable paradox. People may need to increase their capacity to receive success before they can fully create or sustain it. If you would like to support Gay Hendricks, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.